just one of those lovely stories, isn't it? I don't know about you, so when you try and come with fresh eyes, you see something different. John, the fiery prophet, who lived in the wilderness, dressed in animal skins, must have been quite a character. And he wasn't afraid to give God's message. He wasn't afraid to denounce those who were doing wrong. He called those who thought they were righteous a brood of vipers. And he ended up in prison because he dared to challenge Herod, the puppet king of the Jews under Roman authority. He dared to challenge him because Herod had gone to Rome and had an affair with his brother's wife and had married her. Quite a sordid thing in those days. And so he was put into prison. I'm sure Herod would have loved to have got rid of him. But he felt he couldn't, because he thought the people might rebel against him, because they thought John was a prophet. So we have that as a background. But somewhere in his time within prison, in a dungeon, he must have had all sorts of thoughts going around him. I mean, I just can't imagine what it must have been like. The nearest I can come to is looking back to lockdown, for those who are confined to small spaces, small flats, high rises. Because John was used to open spaces, the wilderness, the desert, he had freedom, and suddenly to be confined. I can't imagine the thoughts that must have been going around inside of him. And what we don't know is why he asked his disciples to go and ask Jesus if he was the one to come or was somebody else. It could be that John wasn't certain, because John was speaking a message of repentance and a fire of doom. If don't repent, that's it, folks. And yet Jesus was not really doing that. He was healing people. He was coming alongside people. He was engaging with those that other people wouldn't engage with, the marginalised, the people that the religious folk shunned. It could have been that, or it could have been that he began to do a bit of joined up thinking between, actually, I've given this message from God to the people. Perhaps Jesus is the one that's coming to bring God's kingdom. And so he asks his disciples to go to Jesus and say, who are you? Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect somebody else? And I don't know about you, but those of you who are regular here, was it in October or November we had the first meeting about this wonderful Christmas tree festival? And I think at that meeting, probably quite a few of us had very mixed reactions, didn't we? Is it going to work? Nobody's going to come. Oh, but, and that knitted tree, just can't get my head around that. And it's interesting because some of us stuck with it. Others decided it wasn't for them, or not at that moment. And gradually, as the time went on, things came together and we began to see the whole picture. And even, you know, when I walked in before ringing on Thursday night, to suddenly see that knitted Bible tree there and put bobbles on it. It was amazing. And I guess all of us coming in, seeing the trees lit, just realise how good it is that actually it's engaged people much wider. So we went through that spell in different feelings, different emotions. Is it going to cost too much? Can we really do it? Will anybody come? Will anybody actually decorate a Christmas tree? And if you haven't looked around, have a good look around afterwards, because it really is amazing. And yet, on Friday, it all came together and we could rejoice at that celebration. And I guess, as I said for John, on the way through Jesus' disciples' life, there's always this question, yes, is he the Messiah? Is the one we're looking for? And it's a journey that they went on. Sometimes with doubts, sometimes with hope, sometimes saying yes. And Jesus said to John's disciple, go back, report what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, rules of leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead raised, and good news proclaimed to the poor. He didn't say anything about who he was. He just said, go and tell what you have seen and heard. And that's really a challenge even to us, isn't it? In sharing the good news, we need to go and tell. And I think the other thing we need to grab hold of this, we can think of receiving sight, walk lame walking, those who are ill cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead raised. We can think of it physically, but sometimes we also need to think about it, if you like, in terms of our Christian faith or on that journey, because my eyes can be blind and not see the truth of Jesus. I can feel lame, and I can hobble quite nicely, as you know. But sometimes it's giving the strength to go and tell others what we've seen and what we know. But I don't know how John would have reacted to this, because the one thing Jesus didn't say here, but he said elsewhere, releasing the captives. What that said to John, I don't know. But sometimes it's about hanging on there in faith. It's about knowing that Jesus is with us, with our love, and whatever we go through, however difficult, we're not alone. So it's quite amazing, isn't it? And that verse, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. But what I even find more amazing is he didn't actually say, well done, John. He waited until John's disciples had gone, and then he spoke to the people about John. And he challenged them. Why did you go in the wilderness? A reed swaying in wind? No way. John was too strong for that. A man dressed in fine clothes? No way. It was animal skins. They went to see a prophet, somebody who was different, somebody who could challenge them, could challenge society, and move them forward in their faith. And that is what we need to be about this Advent. We need to be sorting ourselves out, looking at ourselves, saying to ourselves, who is Jesus for me? What does that mean in my life, in my everyday doing about, in my friends, literally friends and family? Because sometimes we create God, we create Jesus in our image. And we need to sort of say, hang on, who is Jesus for me in my life and in our life? And it is really quite a challenge, isn't it? And sometimes it's a struggle. I came across a lovely video on YouTube accidentally the other day, a very short one, and if you like, it's doing the opposite of what a lot of the major firms do, and it was the opposite of a John Lewis one, if you like, because John Lewis is all, and most of it is about, you know, what you buy for Christmas will make you happy. You know, you spend millions, well, perhaps thousands, and everything's going to be hunky-dory at Christmas. And we know it isn't. But it's about, made in the northeast of England, about a man and his son. And the man had obviously just lost his wife, and the son had just lost a brother. And you see them grieving, and you see a family with no hope, with nothing. And yet the Christmas message came through. Because a father went out of his way to make a handmade card for Christmas Day for his son, and a go-kart made out of all planks of wood, which he found paper to wrap up in. And the delight on a lad's face was amazing. And the underlying message was, Christmas is made, not bought. Christmas is made because we celebrate the birth of Christ. And as we continue to pray, prepare ourselves for Christmas Day, may we be constantly reminded of God's love for us as we celebrate that time. Who is Jesus for us today and in the days ahead? Amen.